And for our scripture reading, let's please turn in our Bibles to the book of 1 Thessalonians, the 5th chapter. Your Schofield Reference Bible, turn to page 1270. Page 1270. We'll start with the verse, the 16th verse, and read through verse 23. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verses 16 through 23. The 23rd verse is the text verse. We'll read these verses responsively, and may we please, as is our custom, stand for the reading of God's Word. Rejoice evermore. Pray without ceasing. In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Quench not the Spirit. Despise not prophesyings. Prove all things. Hold fast that which is good. Abstain from all appearance of evil. And the very God of peace sanctify you wholly, and I pray God your whole spirit and soul and body be preserved blameless unto the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. And let's pray. Now, Father, we need thy power in our service tonight. We would yield ourselves to that power, to thy spirit, that thy leadership might be evident in the hearing of the word, in the preaching of the word. Help us to center our attention and to focus our minds and our hearts upon thee, thy word, even tonight. In Jesus' name, amen.
I want to speak tonight a little bit like a Wednesday night lesson rather than a Sunday night sermon. And I want to leave you tonight with the truth that I believe is vital. I could call my message tonight, Show Thyself a Man. I could call my message tonight, The Dignity of Man. I could call my message tonight, The Elevation of Humanity. But I want to talk to you concerning man and his importance. I hope that you'll follow me in the early parts of the message, because I'm going to lay some foundation first, and I'll ask you to follow me carefully as I do. Father, bless our message tonight, because it's thy message, it's thy truth, and I pray you'd help us to heed, to listen, and to obey the truth that is set forth from this pulpit tonight. In Jesus' name, amen. A very basic foundation for what I'm going to say later. There are three forms of life on this earth. There is plant life, there is animal life, and there is man. Or, shall we say, human life, or shall we say plants, animals, and man in the sense that we talk about mankind, not in the sense of man in contrast to woman. So there are three forms of life. Plant, animal, and man. These are made possible by three things. Body, soul, and spirit. Three forms of life, plant, animal, and man, made possible by three things, body, soul, and spirit. Each form of life has a different number of these three things. For example, plant life has one. A plant has no soul. A plant has no spirit. A plant just has form, or shall we say, a body. An animal has two. An animal has a body, and an animal has a soul. Bible says that God breathed into man the breath of life, and man became a living soul. So to that extent, an animal has a body and a soul. Man has three of these things. He has a body, a soul, and a spirit. The body being that which distinguishes him or lets us know what he is. It is his message to us about what he is. The soul being that which can respond, and the spirit being that which can interact with our God. Let me say those three things again because you must get them. First, there are three forms of life. There is plant life, there is animal life, and there is man. Second, these are made possible by three different things: body, soul, spirit. Third, each form of life, that is plant, animal, and man, has a different number of these three things: body, soul, and spirit. Plant life has one, body. Animal life has two, body, soul. Man has all three, body, soul, and spirit. Follow me again. These three perform different functions. For example, the body is the earthly house. The apostle said, if the earthly house of this tabernacle be destroyed, we have a home eternal in the heavens. So the body is the earthly house. For example, you say, that's a boy. Now, how do you know that's a boy? He lives in a boy house, the earthly tabernacle, the house. You said, that's a dog. How do you know? Look out this way now. If you don't be writing. I want you to look at me. You may be writing a letter home. I want you to look at me now. Let me start again because I don't like folks sitting around writing while I'm preaching. I'm here to be heard. And I want you to look this way and listen to me now as I try to bring you what you need to hear. It's not a classroom. It's a hellfire and brimstone preaching service. And so you say, that's a dog. How do you know? Because he lives in a doghouse. You say, that's a married man. How do you know? Because he lives in a doghouse. But you say that's a cat. How you know? Because he lives in a cat house. You say that's a tree. How you know? He lives in a tree house. You say that's a bush. How you know? He lives in a bush house. The house or the body is the earthly house or the earthly tabernacle. Now that's the way I tell Brother Colston from an apple. Though they're both shaped a great deal alike. But Brother Colston lives in a man house. An apple lives in an apple house. That's the way we tell the difference. That's the body. Now, the soul is something else. The soul is the ability to respond. So, that brings us down, then, to animal life and man, because both have that ability. In Genesis 2:7, we are reminded that God breathed into man the breath of life. Man became a living soul. What was it that made a living soul? The breath of life. What was that breath of life? Well, Leviticus teaches us, I think it's chapter 17, verse 11, if my mind doesn't fail me now, that the life of the flesh is in the blood. So if the life of the flesh is in the blood, and God breathed into man the breath of life, God placed blood in man. He placed blood in man and breathed into man the breath of life. Man became a living soul. But that's something very interesting. Not only in that verse do we have the word soul, but in Genesis 1:20, in Genesis 1:24, in Genesis 1:30, in Genesis 2:7, in Genesis 2:19, I think it is, we have other statements concerning other forms of life, such as fish, birds, animals. And the word for life in those verses is the same word for soul when God speaks about man became a living soul. So the soul is the ability to behave and respond. Animal life has that, and man has that. Now, a tree, a plant life, does not have that. You kick a tree, he won't kick you back. A tree will not get out of the way of a car. I know that by experience. Now, you drive a car down the road, and there's a person in the road. Okay, today I was driving and out in the woods, and I looked, and there was a deer ran right across in front of me. And I spoke to her. I mean, that kind of deer. And but there was a deer, and that deer stopped in the road and then became aware there was a car coming or something coming and took off running. I responded to the deer that was in the road, and the deer responded to the car that was coming, because the soul is that which gives us the ability to respond. We used to have a little dog. I've told you about Susie, a little dog named Susie. Susie could smile. She could lift up her little upper lip and show her teeth and smile. Susie was an introvert. We took her to a psychiatrist 2-3 times a month. But Susie was terribly introverted. Susie would do something bad, and I would want to spank her. Susie looked like a possum, but not quite as attractive. And I would grab a stick to go beat Susie, and I'll have the Humane Society after me tomorrow, and I'll be on all the talk shows in Chicago tomorrow night. But I'd like to get a stick to them too, by the way. But anyway, I got a stick and chased Susie, and Susie felt impressed to leave, and she would flee. We had in our backyard a log. I don't know why it was there, and the log was hollow on one end. Susie could get in that log. I could not. Maybe you've noticed why. But Susie would run from me, and I'd chase Susie, and Susie would always go in that log. And as soon as she got safe from me in that log, a place where I could not get, she'd smile. Made me so mad. Now, what was Susie doing? Susie was responding and behaving. That's the cause with the soul. You get mad at a tree, it will not go in the log. It is the log. But you get mad at a head of lettuce, and it won't run and smile from the log, because it has no soul. I'm teaching you some things tonight that are so deep. We used to have a little dog named Tenny. Named Tenny because Dr. Bill Rice gave it to Dave when he was at the ranch one year. And Dave called the dog Tennessee something, and we called the dog Tenny. Tenny was what kind of hound? Beagle. A good dog, but Tenny was afraid of me. Tenny was afraid of anything else, afraid of me. All I had to do to make, I'd just look at Tenny, and Tenny would turn over, hold paws up, just like that. All I had to do, just stare. I'd just stare. You know how you deacons do at deacons meeting. Same way. But Tenny would just stare, just look. In fact, 3 people about to turn over right now. But scared to death. And finally, would do this, and then over on her side, and then turn around and just look up at me like that. Now, what was that? That was the ability to respond. That was the breath of life. The soul. While we're at it, I'll just go ahead and tell you about other dogs. We had a dog named Fritz. Schnauzer. Was white, but dirty white, so it was silver. Fritz could sing. In fact, there's one member of our family that Fritz could out sing. But I could walk in. Well, if one of the girls started playing the piano, Fritz would run to the piano and stick his head way up like that and just woo. And sing all the time. In fact, I could walk in and just hit one note, and Fritz would come and sing. Now, what was that? That was the ability to respond. That was soul. By the way, all three of these dogs died and went to the bad place. And I can prove that. The Bible says in Revelation 22, without are dogs. It's in there. It's right in the book. Now, children, don't get upset. That's not what that means. But Fritz sang. I'll guarantee you, you go to that piano, and you start playing the piano, and Fritz would sing. And by the way, Fritz would sing until you quit playing the piano. We've gathered around the piano many times, Fritz and I, and sang together. Now, we had a little dog named Mickey. This is the last one I'll tell you about. I'll start on the cats after this. Had a dog named Mickey. Mickey got nervous, died with high blood pressure. Mickey was very nervous. Mickey was a chihuahua. And Mickey, when he got nervous, would go, and sort of like I used to for all those years, you know. In fact, I picked it up from Mickey, and I knew you didn't like that. But now, honestly, if nothing was wrong, Mickey was just normal. But Mickey loved harmony and peace. Mickey loved unity. And Mickey didn't like any kind of disharmony. So, if Mickey got nervous, Mickey would get the croup, just exactly like croup, just like a croupy cough. I know this book, don't I? And so, now, the reason that Mickey did that was because Mickey had a right to respond. When Mickey got nervous, the cough. When Tenny got scared, turned over and paws up. When Fritz heard the piano, came to sing. When Susie was chased, she'd hide in the log and smile. Now, why? Because all four had body and a soul, that is, the ability to behave and respond. Let us go on. There are three forms of life, plant, animal, and man. These are made possible by three things, the body, the soul, the spirit. The body being that which is our earthly house, the soul being that which enables us to respond and to behave. The spirit, that which can receive and be motivated by God Himself and can be enjoyed by God. That's the spirit. Now, just as plant life only has the body, and animal life has the body and the soul. That's what it means when Jesus said, fear not him that can destroy the body alone, but fear him that can destroy both body and soul in hell. The body and the soul will die someday, just like a dog will die someday. But man has the body, the soul, and the spirit. Man has the house, the earthly tabernacle about which Paul spoke. Man has the soul, which enables him to behave and respond. And man has the spirit, which can receive and be motivated by God Himself and can be enjoyed by God. Only man has that. That's what the wise man meant in Proverbs 20:27 when he said, the spirit of man is the candle of the Lord. The spirit of man is the candle of the Lord. Apart from God, the candle cannot burn, but the candle yielded to that which is the stronger force, the candle yielding to fire, then that candle burns, and the spirit of man is the candle of the Lord. Alone, though man has a spirit, alone it'll do no good. It must yield itself to God's Holy Spirit, as the candle yields itself to the fire. Nothing is happy until that which is subservient yields itself to that which was meant to be its master. No child is happy who does not obey his parents. No person is happy that does not obey his God. No candle is complete without the fire and yielding itself to the fire. And by the way, the fire can't be complete without the candle. God has no hands but our hands to do his work today. He has no feet but our feet to lead men to his way. He has no tongue but our tongue to tell men that Christ died. He has no help but our help to lead men to his side. We're the only Bible this careless world will read. We're the sinner's gospel. We're the scoffer's creed. We're the Lord's last message written in deed and word. What if the line is crooked? What if the print is blurred? What if our hands are busy with other works than his? What if our feet are leading where sin's allurement is? What if our tongues are speaking of things that Christ would spurn? How can we hope to aid him and hasten his return? We need God to complete us, but God needs us to complete him. We are his epistles written in the flesh so man can read God and see God. Paul, John said, 1 John 4:17, as he is, so are we in this world. John said in chapter 14, verse 12, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the works that I do, shall he do also. And greater works than these shall do because I go to my Father. So, man has a spirit. That's what it means in Proverbs 20:27. Now follow me very carefully because here is the most important part of my message. Ladies and gentlemen, we do not realize the lofty position of man. We have relegated man to mortality. Now follow me carefully. Man was made to complete our fellowship with his God. Jesus is man. He always has been man. That's what the Bible says. What is man that mindful of him? And the word in the Hebrew is the word enosh, which means weak man. Jesus came and for sin, sinful man. But man was not made to be sinful. Jesus was always man. He is and always has been the man of the Godhead. He's man right now. 1 Timothy 2:5. There is one God and one mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus. Didn't say the God Christ Jesus. The man Christ Jesus. Now, if I can say this where you can understand it. Man is a lofty creature. And man has been, the word man has been lowered far beneath the dignity. See, man was man before he sinned. Consequently, Jesus did not die, hear this statement, Jesus did not die to make us God. He died to make us man again. He said again. Jesus did not die to make us God. He died to make us man again. For man was created in the omnipotent and omniscient plan of God as a part of God's creatures to live with God and praise God forever. We didn't fall, hear me now, we did not fall to man. We fell from man. We did not fall to manhood because of sin. We fell, hear me now, we fell from manhood because of sin. And in a sense, we fell, hear me now, we fell from manhood to animalhood. See, man was made a threefold creature.
When man fell, he died spiritually. And if you let me say it, he became animal. Now he still has that spirit potential for that spirit to be revived. That's what we call regeneration. Regening, if you please. What it means, regening. God's genes. And the Bible says we're regenerated by the Word of God. Here are the genes right here. These are the spiritual genes right here. And just as this physical body was born with the genes of my mom and dad, the spiritual life that I now live was born again by the genes of the Word of God. That's what it means when it says we're not redeemed with corruptible things such as silver and gold, but the precious blood of Christ. But it goes on to say also, it says we are redeemed or regened by the Word of God. This Word is the seed. He did go forth with it, bearing precious seed. I'm talking about seed now, like the seed of man reproduces a man. But when I got born again, once again I had a spirit that was alive, according to Colossians, chapter 2, how you hath he quickened who were dead in your trespasses and sins. The body was not dead, it still breathes. The soul was not dead, it still reacts. But the spirit was dead, and in salvation, the spirit got revived. And it must get revived because the body and soul are going to die someday and go to hell if we're not saved. Bible said, fear him that can destroy both body and soul in hell. So the reason you doctor up the body, make it good, make it quit cussing, quit smoking, quit drinking, quit dancing, quit going to movies, quit listening to rock music, it's still going to die someday. And you got to get the spirit alive before the body and the soul dies, or you'll have nothing that can live forever in fellowship with God. But now what I'm saying is this, and here's the message. Man is a lofty word, and we've cheapened the word. We brought the word man down to mean sinful. Man was not made to be sinful. Jesus, as I said, Jesus has always been the humanity of the Godhead, and humanity does not mean sinful. Humanity is a certain way of life. And so when I was made in the image of God, I was made as a man. In the image of Jesus Christ. Because Jesus had fellowship with the Father from eternity, and God decided to make a whole race of little Jesuses, and God made man a lofty name that was meant to be an eternal possession. So I say it again. When Adam and Eve and the human race fell, we did not fall to manhood, we fell from manhood. And Jesus came to redeem us. Let me say this. Jesus didn't come to make us God. He came to make us like God. And that's man, because man was made in the image of God. So Jesus came to make us man again. He came to bring us back to manhood. And manhood, man, was made in the image of God. So when man sinned, he no longer was in the image of God, and he fell to his animal passions to live for the body that's eating, drinking, lust, and so forth, and soul, that's vanity, pride, and the sins of the soul. But when man sinned, he fell from being a man to, if you'll let me say it crudely, being an animal. Now, suppose an animal could live without a soul. Now, let's go back to our... The plant life has a what? Tell me. Body. And the animal life has a what? A body and a... And man has a... And a spirit. All right? Let's go back to the animal, for example, and suppose that the animal lost his soul. What would he be? Well, let's say it'd be a vegetable. That's not exactly right, but if he didn't have a soul, he'd just be like a plant. I mean, you kick him, he wouldn't. Oh, by the way, I forgot to tell you about Fritz. If Fritz is bad, I'd spank Fritz. But Fritz scared me to death. He'd growl at me.
Now, Fritz was cheerful and happy and always singing. But if you spank Fritz, well, I never felt led to spank Fritz but one time. And because I have a soul. And because I have a body, too. I'd like to stay intact. And, if the animal lost its soul, it would only have the body, as a plant does. Now, when man loses his spirit, he only has a body and a soul, like the animal does. Now, follow this. Did you ever see some young fella, especially a teenage boy? All you teenage boys, wake up a minute and quit writing notes and quit whispering, look at me a minute. I'm on. Say something to you. I'm my own man. No, you're not. You're your own animal. That's what you're really saying. I don't need God. I'm my own man. If you don't have God, you're an animal. Won't you say the truth then? I'm my own animal. Won't you go ahead and tell your dad? Dad, I'm tired of obeying you, and I'm tired of the Bible, tired of going to church. I'm my own animal from now on. That's what you are. No, if you're a man, you'd be elevated to a position of obeying God. That's what man was made for, and that's what man's all about. Man is obedient to God, and if you are not obedient to God, then you are not man-like, you are animal-like, and God came to redeem you that you do His will and live for Him and love His word and praise His name. Why? To bring you back to being a man again. So your decision is not whether to be like man or like God. For example, you're deciding whether or not to live for God. You're not deciding whether to be like man or God. You're deciding to be whether to be like animal or man. See, you're not God. You never will be God. We're not supposed to be God. We're supposed to be like God. And man was made like God. So, being like God is being man. You understand that? Being like God is being man. To be like Jesus, to be like Jesus, all I ask, to be like Him. All through life's journey, through hill and valley, all I ask, to be like Him. Now, when you become like Him, then you're a man again. Illustration. You're hurt by someone. What did Jesus do when He was hurt by someone? Are you listening? What did Jesus do when He was hurt by someone? He opened not His mouth. He was led as a lamb to the slaughter. Young people, are you listening? As a sheep before shears is dumb. He said, bless those that curse you. Love those that hate you. Pray for those that despitefully use you. So when somebody hurts you, then you have a choice not to be God or man. Well, you say, it's only human to fight back. Oh, no, it isn't. Oh, no, it isn't. No. No. It's animal to fight back. It's not human to fight back. It's animal to fight back. That's what Fritz did. All I had to do is whack Fritz on the head, listen now, and Fritz would go, ah! Just like you do. Just like you do. Well, after all, I'm just human. Good. Then you can be like God and we'll fight back. That's what Jesus died for, was to make you man again. Well, I'm human after all. Wonderful. You got it made then. Now, what you ought to say, well, I'm just an animal. Hey, nobody's perfect. I'm just an animal, you know. That's what you're actually saying. Because to be man is a lofty position. To be man is to be like God. To be man is to love like God. And so when you have when somebody hurts you or criticizes you or is unkind to you or slanders you, you have a choice. You be man or you be animal. Did you hear that, husband? In the house? Did you hear that, wives? In the house? Your husband gets in 30 minutes late from work?
Supper's cold? What are you? Man or animal? I mean, you have a choice. And for you to say, well, all of us do wrong, I'm just human. If you're human, you wouldn't do that. Because to be human is to be like God. Because man was made in the image of God, and the man part of us is the only difference between us and a puppy dog is the spirit. So if we do not live in the Spirit, we relegate ourselves to animal life and live like animals do, and there are hundreds and hundreds of people in this house tonight who are not living like man. You're supposed to live like man. Jesus died to make you man again, which is being like God. But you're living like animals. Illustration, you're tempted to lust. You're tempted to watch your primetime TV cesspools. You're tempted to watch your dirty soap operas. You're tempted to read sensuous magazines and look at wicked pictures of undressed females or scantily dressed females. Now you've got a choice. Be man or animal. Not God or man or animal. Well, I'll tell you what, boy. I'll tell you what. I look at a woman and she's scantily clothed. But after all, I'm just a man.
No, you're not. You're animal. Animal.
After all, I'm just human.
No, you're animal. Animal. Come on, Fritz. Come on, Tenny. Let me just make it a little plainer than that. You run, sneak, and hide. I fooled you. Come on, Susie. Come on. Hello, Susie.
Whack. Ah!
Hello, Fritz. Come on, Fritz. Come on, Fritz. Come on. Come on. Want a bone? Wag your tail. Come on, Fritz.
I'm sorry. Take that little puppy to the nursery. Now, what I'm trying to tell you, folks, you've hidden long enough behind your humanity, you ought to realize what humanity really is. Be a man! Bible says, quit you like men! Show thyself a man. That's what God said. Show thyself a man. Live above fighting back. Live above revenge. Live above fighting. Live above criticism. Live above scandal. Live above hurt feelings. Live above unkindness. Rise above it. Be a man.
Someone hates you, curses you. You got a choice. Hurt them back. Or be a man. Bless them. I'm sorry. Curse them back. Or be a man.
If you're tempted to cheat in school, you got a choice. Cheat or be a man. Some of you little females run around here dressing so you can appeal to the lust of men. Won't you decide to be human?
I'm nothing but human.
No, you're not. You're animal. Won't you decide to be human? Some of you guys, I think you're Romeo reincarnate. Lover boy. Hey, that preacher's not going to tell me what to do. I'm not going to, if God called me, I wouldn't do it. I'm not going to, I had that religion crammed down my throat in grade school, in junior high school, in high school.
Come on, Susie. Come on. Come on, Susie. Come on, Fritz. Come on.
Well, I want you to know, if a teenager wants to be his own man, that's a lie. First place, you're not talking about being a man, talking about an animal. And the second place, there's some decent kids that have respect for their parents and respect for authority that don't have to be their, quote, own men. Don't have to be. Sign of weakness. You can't stand instruction and still be a human being. You can't stand it. You're not strong enough to stand instruction. Not strong enough to be under authority. Attempted to cheat in school. You got a choice. To cheat or be a man. You got a Bible in front of you. You got a choice. Not read it or be a man. You got a choice. Don't pray or be a man. You've got a choice. Don't praise God or be a man. Jesus tonight is a man. There's one God and one mediator between God and man, the man, Christ Jesus. And God made us in His image and told us to be like Jesus. And since Jesus is the perfect man and we're admonished to be like Jesus, God is telling us to be a man because Jesus is a man, and to be like Him is to be a man. And not to be like Him is not to be a man. You don't pay your debts. You've got a choice. Don't pay your debts or be a man. It's up to you. There's many a woman in this house tonight married to an animal. And many a man married to an animal. There's many a pulpit in America filled with one, and many a deacon board filled with one, and many a Sunday school faculty filled with one, and many a Christian school filled with men, with animals. You live in the dorms. Get your feelings hurt. Somebody pricked your feelings. Animal. Forgiveness, love, man. I'm not asking you tonight, nor is God asking you according to this lesson. God is not asking you, nor am I suggesting tonight that you be God. I'm suggesting you quit being an animal. Because what you call manhood is animalhood. God comes tonight and says, show thyself a man. That's what He means. Show thyself a man. Choice is yours. It's yours. What are you tonight, husbands? Your relationship. Well, how can I know of a man? Because man is made in the image of God. So to be like Jesus is being a man. Wives, are you human? I'm just human after all. I know. You can be. But what you mean is you're animal after all. What are you? Students? What are you? Now you listen to me. I have no axes to grind, no desire to hurt anybody, but it's time that God's people became men. Quit ye like men. Show thyself a man. Man, somebody. God made man. Man didn't become man when he sinned. Man became man when God made him. When God made male and female, He made the human race, He made man. And man was made in God's image. But Brother Hiles, I thought we were to be like God. That's right. That's right. Because man was made like God. And all God is asking you, God is not asking you to be God. God is asking you to be what He made you to be. And that's man. What an elevated position that is. I'm glad to be a member of the human race. Most of us aren't. Most of the folks in this room tonight are members of the animal race. You try to hurt anybody? So did Fritz. Somebody hurt you, try to hurt them back. So did friends. Hush! Oh, woo, 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 woo. Won't you bark? You probably do. Watching your dirty television programs? Cheating on tests? Breaking the rules? I don't like rules! Neither did Fritz. No animal does. But man does. Man lacks the boundaries set for him according to the principles of this book because man was made to be subservient and obedient to his God. And abide by the law of God Almighty. When you become a man, no problem. I'll be glad when I get out of school. I won't have to live by all these rules. I'm going to go to State University. And go to the devil like the rest of the universe is. Yeah. Going to be my own man. Huff! Huff! I was out in Southern California. Taking a walk one day when I was preaching, I was taking a walk. Came to a little fenced in backyard on a corner. There's a little Chihuahua dog inside that fence. And there's a big old bulldog just outside that fence. And that Chihuahua dog thought he wanted out. And he started barking. Woof! 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 Let me out! I want to be free! Let me out! I want to be free! If he ever got free, he'd be hamburger meat. You better thank God he's built a fence around you. You better thank God he built a fence around you to keep you from the evil, keep the evil one from you. Ask you a question tonight. Do you have any animal tendencies? Huh? Are you a man? Human or animal? Which is it? Huh? I wonder if it would be a wonderful thing for us to decide we're going to act like Jesus, yield ourselves to the Holy Spirit, and let Him conform us to the image of His own dear Son. And when we, as to whatever degree we're conformed to the image of Christ, to that same degree, we're man. And to whatever degree we're not conformed to the image of Christ, to that same degree, we live the soul life or the physical life, and that's the animal life. Because the only creature on the face of this earth that has the capacity and the ability to fellowship with and please his Creator is man. And when that ceases to be your activities in life, then you are not acting as man, you're acting as animal. Which are you tonight? Oh, to be like the blessed Redeemer. Oh, to be like thee, pure as thou art. Come in thy goodness. Come in thy sweetness. Stamp thine own image deep on my heart. Jesus comes tonight and says, I want you to be like me. The Bible says we're to love like him. We're to forgive like him. We're to work like him. We're to think like him. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, Philippians 2:5. We're to think like him. And to whatever degree we forgive and love and think and work and live like him, to that degree we have been elevated to the high and lofty position of being a man. I'm glad to be human because Jesus is. Oh, he was God. I'm not saying he wasn't deity and not deity. But he was the human-like one of the Godhead. And still is. And always was. And I'm glad to be a member of the human race. Won't you join us? Our Heavenly Father. Bless the truth that's gone over this desk tonight.